This is my.
I'd like to turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Going to read the entire psalm. It's 24 verses. Allow the words of this psalm to speak to your heart. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? Whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against Thee wickedly. Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is a psalm of David. We do not know when it was composed, but what is written here might have occurred at any point of his life. In this psalm, David is speaking to God. In the psalm, he used the title Lord 3 times and the word God 3 times. Personal pronouns referring to Him, Thou, Thine, Thy, and Thee, 30 times. That's 36 direct references to God. So it is a psalm about God. But also in this psalm, David speaks of himself, using the personal pronouns I, me, my, and mine 50 times. So it's a personal psalm. So in this psalm, of 24 verses, there are 86 references to God and to self. So it is a psalm about God and self. Throughout the entire psalm, David is speaking to God. He's speaking to God upon the wonder, the marvel, the awesomeness, the greatness of God as it relates to himself. The psalm is deeply theological. Verses 1 through 6, he speaks of the omniscience of God. God's infinite, perfect, eternal, infallible, immutable knowledge of all things, past, present, in future. In verses 7 through 12, he speaks of the omnipresence of God. God without expansion, God without division, penetrates and fills the universe in all of its parts, at all times at the same time. In verses 13 through 18, he speaks of the omnipotence of God, the absolute power or ability of God to do whatever he wills to do. Verses 19 through 22, he speaks of the rightful vengeance of God. He speaks directly of these theological truths, but also there's the theme of the love and care of God for his people. It is a psalm that magnifies the grace of God, the mercy of God, the long-suffering, the faithfulness, the loving-kindness of God. It is a psalm that gives us a towering view of God. We see God high and lifted up, and yet close and near. In the psalm, again, David speaks to God, of God. He does not do so in mere generalities, but he speaks in a very personal way. And in so doing, he reveals that God is infinite and yet intimate with his people. And that's our subject, our infinite and yet intimate God. Our infinite and yet intimate God. As we read and give thought to this 139th psalm, we see that it is a deep, never-ending well. A well that I hope that we can draw from today. Again, it is a psalm about the awe-inspiring greatness of God and how it relates to you and I personally. An infinite, yet intimate God. And as you read and meditate upon this psalm, it ought to thrill your hearts. It ought to fill you with overflowing joy and encouragement. It is also a psalm that ought to convict us thoroughly and deeply humble us, lifting up our souls and filling us with a consuming desire to thank him, to desire him, to praise him, to worship Him, to serve Him. First of all, consider the personableness of the psalm concerning the Lord. Again, there are 36 references to God, 50 references to self. So it is David talking to God with a deep, serious, and reverent spirit concerning the immeasurable greatness of God, relating to David personally. What we see in this psalm is David declaring what he knew of the person of God, what he knew of the greatness and the immensity and the majesty and the love and the care of God. But he does not merely speak from a theological sense. He speaks from a deep personal sense. In other words, he does not view God as an abstract or as a mere doctrine, but he sees God as relevant in his everyday life. In this psalm, we do not see the psalmist as one who has been merely informed about God. Everyone sitting here, through the years, you have been informed about God. Nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. But it must not stop there. And David is not writing merely as one informed about God. He's not writing as one who merely knew about God in an intellectual or religious way. Again, it's good to have a knowledge about God. But you have to know this by itself. A knowledge about God can, and often does, leave you detached and indifferent toward Him. But what we read in this psalm are not the words of one who is detached from God. They are not the words of one who is indifferent toward God. It's one who personally knew the Lord. Throughout the psalm, he's acknowledging God in his life. It's a very personal psalm. He's very much aware of, and he perceives God in his life. He speaks as one who is very familiar with God. He speaks as one who knows God by personal experience. So what we hear David say in this psalm is the expression of personal relationship with infinite God. Since I have been here, I have longed. Everywhere I've pastored, I have longed for the people to have a personal relationship with God. And here in this psalm, David is delighting in God. He's finding great pleasure and satisfaction in the fact that God is in his life. In the psalm, we see that God was reality in the life of the psalmist. And this had a life-impacting upon David. And I long for that in each one, that they would have a life-impacting relationship with the Lord. The importance of knowing God in a personal way, and God being a personal reality in your life, cannot be overstated. Because everything in your life is directly influenced to this. the choices that you make, the places you go, the associations that we make, the priorities of our life, how we live, are all governed by how real God is to us. All governed by a personal relationship with the Lord. And if there be one here who cannot, I'm talking to the saved, see the importance of a personal relationship with God, I feel sorry for you. The direction of our life is vitally connected with our degree of relationship with the Lord. There's nothing more important in your Christian life than a right understanding of who God is and a personal relationship with Him. Well, what about this? What about this, 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 this? Go ahead and make your list. A personal relationship will take care of the list. Personal relationship becomes a propelling force in the way we live. It becomes a propelling force in worship and in the pursuit of holiness. So we see the psalm is very personal as it relates to God. We also want to notice the expression of the psalm, what David expresses in this psalm. Before we get into what David declares, there are some words in the psalm that reveal the tone of the psalm, that reveal the spirit of the psalm. The very first word of the psalm is O. O Lord. That word O is found 6 times in this psalm. We see, O Lord, 3 times, verse 1, verse 4, verse 21. We see the words, O God, 3 times, verse 17, verse 19, verse 23. It is a word of exclamation, expressing deep feeling. O Lord. O God. There is also the word lo, L-O, verse 4. Also a word of exclamation. A word expressing great wonder. And this is a psalm overflowing with wonder. There is the word behold. In verse 8, also a word of exclamation, denoting something extraordinary and momentous. So it is a psalm of awe and reverence. There is the word yea in verse 12, a word that expresses affirmation. Or assent, a word of assurance and confidence. It is a psalm of connection with God and much personal assurance. So this psalm is the expression of rejoicing that God is an intimate part of life. It is a psalm that expresses, it is the expression of one who is in absolute awe of who God is, and who is an absolute all, that God is an intimate part of His life. I'm afraid there are a lot of people who have sat in Baptist churches or any other kind of church all their lives, and God is not an intimate part of their life. How sad. Notice what the psalmist expresses in this psalm. The first thing he expresses is God knows me. God knows me intimately. Now we know doctrinally that God knows everything. There isn't anyone here that would deny that truth. God knows everything. He knows everything always. He knows everything perfectly. He knows everything equally. But the psalmist begins with, He knows me. You see, you can believe that God knows everything and not live in the reality that God knows me. God knows me. Meditate upon that truth. God knows me. With a perfect knowledge. Verse 1, he states, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. He is stating, God knows everything that I am. Now stop and really think about that. God knows everything that I am. Not just the good. He knows everything that I am. He also knows everything that I would have been had He not intervened. He knows everything that I am. He knows my character. He knows my being. He knows who and what I am. He knows the very fabric and fiber of our soul. There is absolutely nothing that He does not know about me. He goes on, he enlarges upon this subject. In verse 2, he says, God knows everything that I do. He also knows everything that I would do were it not for His intervention. He knows everything that I do. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. You say, well, what does it matter that God knows when we sit down or when we get up? It shows that He knows every minute detail. God knows everything that I do. Notice it says, Thou knowest. Present tense. Always. Ongoing. My down-sitting and my uprising. That's a figurative way of saying, you know my every activity. Again, my down sitting and uprising. Two opposites. They're not the same thing. Two complete opposites. Sitting down, getting up. Implying that He knows everything in between. He knows the two opposites. Sitting down, getting up. He knows everything in between. So God knows me. God knows everything that I do. Note also in verse 2, He knows everything I think. Thou understandest, again, present tense, ongoing, continually, always, my thought. afar off, or long before I even think it. He is saying, God always reads my mind. Always. There's never a time, there's never a place when He does not know my mind. He always sees with penetrating X-ray vision my thoughts. And He knows why I think it. And He does so before the thought is even materialized in my mind. He knows everything that I'm thinking right now. He knows everything that I will think 4 hours from now. He knows everything I think tomorrow before I even think it. He knows. There is no thought in my mind hidden from God. I'm not sure that we have ever fully grasped that. Note also, God knows everywhere I go. Verse 3, Thou compassest my path, my lying down, Thou art acquainted with all my ways. Thou compassest, word there means discern, my path, my lying down, in all my ways. My paths can refer to my public life. And the words, my lying down, can refer to my private life. And the words, my ways, are a summary of both. God knows everything that I do publicly. He knows everything that I do privately. And He knows all my ways. There isn't anything He doesn't know. God knows me. Whether awake or sleep, He knows me. He knows us inside and out. He knows us publicly and privately. And then in verse 4 He says, God knows everything that I say. He knows everything I think, and what I say may be not the same thing I'm thinking. God knows both. God knows both. Though there are people who will tell you what you think, no one knows what you think but God. And God does know. God knows everything that I think. God knows everything I need. Verse 5, and Thy hand upon me. That's a figure, God's hand is a figure of speech expressing God's power in action. God exerting His energy upon us. God is not a passive onlooker into our lives. God knows. God always perfectly and vividly knows. He is never caught by surprise by anything I do. He's never caught unaware by anything I do. He never learns anything about me. And there are no unforeseen events in my life. He sees the steps that I take. He knows why I take those steps. He knows the steps that I would have taken had He not intervened. He knows my direction. He knows the direction of my thoughts. He knows the direction of my steps. He knows what is around the corner. He knows what lies in tomorrow. He knows all of my faults and all of my shortcomings. He knows all my present and all my future sins and failures. He not only knows every sin that is in me, He knows every sin that will be in me tomorrow and 5 years from now and throughout my entire life. He knows. We promise God, oh Lord, I'll never do that again. And God knows in 5 minutes you will. And God knows tomorrow you will. God knows. He knows us in every way. There's nothing hidden. And yet He loves me. That's amazing. The one who knows us best loves us the most. May I say, there is not a person in the world that would love you or me if they knew everything about us. Your own mom and dad wouldn't love you if they knew everything about you, if they knew every thought that went through this mind. But God knows. And He loves us. That's grace. That's mercy. Notice David's response in verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. He's overwhelmed. He goes on and he says, God is with me closely. God knows me. God is with me. We know doctrinally the omnipresence of God. But David just doesn't speak of it doctrinally. He declares it in relationship to himself, to his everyday life. He does so in verses 7 through 12. He begins verse 7 with two rhetorical questions. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? And then he stretches out this subject for our own meditation. In verse 8, he speaks of two directions. Not just two places, but two directions. He says, if I ascend, so he's speaking of a direction, he's speaking of movement. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, he's not talking about burning hell here, because he says, if I make my bed in hell. He's talking about the grave. Behold, thou art there. Heaven and the grave, God is there. In verse 9, he speaks of two other directions. If I take the wings of the morning, that's referring to the direction of east. The sun rises in the east. And dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. It would be the Mediterranean Sea, west of where David is. So he's saying, if I go east across the globe, or if I go due west as far as I can go, God is there. So in these two verses, David is setting before us a compass. Heaven, north. The grave, south. East and west. He says, no matter which direction I go, and no matter how far I go in that direction, God is there. God is there. Verse 10. He says, even there. Even there. Wherever I go, even there, there is God in His life. And he proceeds in verse 10 to declare, I'm never beyond the reach and the work of God. Never. Verses 11 and 12, he metaphorically declares, there's no hiding from God. The darkness to God, that's light. And that we're never hid from God. So he declares, God knows me. God is close. to me. And then he declares God's power in his life. We again know doctrinally the omnipotence of God. He possesses all power. He can do whatever he pleases, and he will. He not only can do what he pleases, he does. He's almighty. But David does not just speak doctrinally. David declares the omnipotence of God in relationship to himself and his life. Notice verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, my inward parts. Thou hast covered, woven me in my mother's womb. And then, notice verse 15, verse 16. We see his response to this in verse 14, I will praise thee. My substance, my skeletal frame, was not hid from thee. When I was made, he made us. He knew everything about this skeletal frame. In secret or in the womb. And curiously wrought, embroidered. Speaks of detail, precision, exactness. In the lowest parts of the earth. Verse 17 and 18, he speaks of God's, the wonders of God's forming hand. But he also speaks of God's all-directing providence in his life. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. God still knows. Then in verse 23 and 24, we see David, as the result of realizing the greatness, the immensity, the majesty, the love, the care of God in his life, that fills him with a desire to have a deeper and closer relationship with God. He sees that God is real in his life. And he wants a deeper relationship with the Lord. How deep of a relationship do you really want with God? You say, well, I'm pretty satisfied with what I have. You don't really know him then. It hasn't gotten a hold of you. How deep of a relationship do you really want with the Lord? David desires a deep relationship. So beginning with verse 23, he prays. He's been talking to God, about himself, as God relates to himself. We come to the conclusion in verse 23 and 24, he makes a request of God. In the connection with, in the context of, him seeing God in his life. he prays. Now, this prayer does not contradict in any way what he's already said in the first six verses concerning God's knowledge of him. This is the prayer of someone who has a very vivid sense of God in his life. It is a prayer in which David is saying, I don't want anything between me and him. I don't want there to be anything at all between me and God. Can we say that today? I don't want anything between me and God. I don't want anything that would hinder. And there's nothing on God's part that hinders. I don't want anything to hinder a deeper relationship with the Lord. He prays, search me, O God. Know my heart. He already knows. Try me, that is, test me. Know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked or offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Here's what he's praying. Lord, dig deep into me. Bring to the surface so that I can see. God already sees. So that I can see what you see in me. He knows everything about us. And David is praying, Lord, bring it to the surface so that I can see what you know about me. You know what we would find? We would find that even the works that we consider good have sin in them. It's what Paul said in Romans 7. He is saying, Lord, explore me. Probe me. Dig deep down within me so that I can know who and what I am. It's not who and what I think I am, but it's who and what God knows. Who we think we are and what God knows are two different things. He is saying, Lord, bring it all to the surface so that I can see. He is praying, Lord, put me to the test. Why? So that I can deal with what needs to be dealt with. So that I can deal with whatever it is that stands between me and a deeper relationship with the Lord. Lord, show me every attitude that is a hindrance to a deeper relationship with you. Oh, we can justify almost every attitude we have. But we're dealing with God. Lord, show me every single attitude that keeps me from a deeper relationship with God. Lord, show me every priority that's out of order. in my life. Lord, show me every word that is offensive to you. Lord, reveal to me every thought that is offensive to you. Why? Because I want a closer relationship with the Lord. Reveal and make known to me, O Lord, is what he's praying. God knows everything about us. Lord, I want a deeper relationship with you. Would you reveal to me everything that is contrary, that would hinder such a relationship? Lord, reveal it to me so that I can confess it before thee, so that I can repent of it. There aren't many that are going to pray this prayer, because most get angry when their sin is revealed in a message. They can't handle that. Let alone God saying, you want to know what's wrong with you? Sit down and listen. God will tell us. God will tell us. You may think you know what's wrong with me, and you may have a list of every one of my faults and me you. But guess what? Our list is way off. But God's isn't. Doesn't do me any good to go to someone in the church and say, tell me what's wrong with me. Oh, most of you would be glad to do that. But you don't know. There's one who does. And it's God. When was the last time you went to God and said, Lord, show me everything? We couldn't handle it if God showed us everything. He's not going to show you everything because you can't handle it. None of us can. But he'll show it to us in parts. Lord, show me. Lord, I want a deeper relationship with you. And I know, God, that you're perfect, and I know I'm not. And I know if there's any hindrances in this relationship, and there are, it has to be on my part. So, Lord, show me. Show me. When was the last time? It's a deep personal relationship with the Lord. It's a desire for that deep personal relationship with the Lord that leads to this kind of praying. It's a prayer that ought to challenge us. It ought to challenge us. We ought to be challenged to pray such in every situation of our life. You become furious with a situation or a person. It'd be wise to stop and pray this prayer. Lord, you need to show me right now everything about me that's not right. Well, what they're doing, that's not the issue. Lord, show me what's wrong with me. If you have a problem with another person, don't begin in your praying for them. Pray for you. Lord, show me what's wrong with me in this situation. That's where we need to start. Hardly anyone starts there, because they're not interested in what's wrong with them. They're very interested in what's wrong with someone else. People have a deep interest in that. You start talking about someone, people listen. They're interested. Oh, man, I want the dirt. You think you know all the faults. I know this one too. And on it goes. Lord, show me what's wrong with me. I'm having a problem with this person. Lord, show me what's wrong with me in this situation. Begin there. That brings us into a closer relationship with God, which enables you to handle the situation. God, help us. Reading this psalm, we need to make personal examination. Can we identify with David in this psalm? Do we live our lives in the reality and the relevancy of God? I enjoy theology. I enjoy theological discussions. I enjoy digging as deep as I can possibly dig in my finite mind into the truths of God. But I can do all of that and still not have a relationship with the Lord. We need to know the truth of God. But we need to know so in a relationship way. An infinite God, and yet an intimate God. What a great wonder. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.